Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Praise God. Glad you're with me. And I have a message that I want to share with you that I'm calling Under the Shadow. And so we're going to talk about that. And what we're going to be talking about is divine protection. And so get your Bible if you're where you can and follow me in these scriptures because you know, it's very vital in these last days that we understand we have a God that protects us. So we're going to be talking about under the shadow. If you'd like, go with me to Psalm 74, and I want to read a verse there, and then we're going to look at some other verses this morning. Praise God. Good to be in the house here. I know you're not, but it's just good to be in the house of the Lord and to hear the Word of God and to fellowship with His Spirit. Psalm 74, verse 20, David said this. He said, "Have respect unto the covenant," or some translations say the covenant promises. Because, you know, when you talk about covenant, you're talking about promises. And so have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. That is a powerful verse. Maybe you haven't read that verse before, or you haven't really paid attention to it. But David's just talking to God, and he's saying, look, the earth is full, the King James says, cruelty or violence. It's full of violence. And so he said, have respect unto the covenant. In other words, have respect unto the covenant promises. Now, I was looking through the Bible just yesterday and maybe on Friday, I can't remember, but I was looking through the Bible and I was just going through different scriptures that talk about our divine protection. It is amazing how many scriptures are in the Bible about God protecting us, keeping us safe. It's amazing. You know, and a lot of times it's that way with Bible topics is you don't really realize how much the Bible has to say about it until you actually just decide to do a verse-by-verse study on it. And when you do that, you just find out, man, there's a lot of verses in the Bible about the subject of divine protection. You know, I've had people say, you know, God doesn't care about your money. Well, wait a minute. There's over 2,000, hear me? Over 2,000 scriptures in the Word of God that talks about money. So if God doesn't care about our money, why would He put over 2,000 verses in His book about money? Obviously, He does care about money, and He cares about what you think about money, and He cares about you having money. And so, you know, a lot of times people make statements like that. They haven't really investigated or searched the scriptures to see all that the scriptures said. And I found that out about protection. You know, I mean, I knew the Bible promised us divine protection. I knew that. But when I started looking at all the scriptures, and of course, I didn't even get to all of them, but, you know, the ones that I found about divine protection, you know, I did a little online search on, you know, like scriptures on divine protection and just began to look through those. And when I read all those, I thought, man, there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible where God promises to protect us. And I'm telling you, that's really good news in these last days when the earth has gone violent. I mean, it's easy if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ to go out there in your everyday life and not come back home. Now, I don't say that to fear you because we know Jesus, praise God. We have divine protection, amen? And you know, the Bible tells us, you know, just for instance, just some of the scriptures, just think about this. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Wow, that's a powerful scripture. Paul said in the New Testament, he told Timothy, he said, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. In other words, I'm going to be here as long as I need to be here. God's going to take care of me. He's going to protect me right up to the end. Hallelujah. And He did, praise God. Paul went through some things, but he always came out victorious. He told the church at Corinth, he said that God delivered us. He does deliver us. He will yet deliver us. So past, present, future deliverance. God delivers us. He delivered us. God delivers us, present. And He will yet deliver us future. So God has delivered you and I. No, we don't know how many times that maybe we've been delivered. But He's delivering us today, and we can depend on in the future He's going to deliver us again. The Scripture says the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him and delivers them. So when David said, have respect unto the covenant or the covenant promises, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty, he's just calling out to God for his divine protection. Now I want to read to you this morning a psalm that we all know, Psalm 91. I want to read the whole psalm. And, you know, that's a familiar psalm to us here at Oasis Church. At the end of the service, I should say, you know, always claim Psalm 91 protection. But now, do you actually ever read Psalm 91? You should. I mean, you know, you should take time to get to know this psalm because it's a powerful psalm. And it's all about the divine protection that we have in our covenant with God. So go with me, if you can, if you're where you can grab a Bible, go with me, go to Psalm 91, whatever version you're using. I'm using the King James Version this morning. Psalm 91, let's look at this, verse 1. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, we're going to come back to that verse after we read, because this is the pivotal verse right here to this whole psalm protection. This in verse 2 are pivotal to this, where he says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, about abiding under his shadow and how to do that. You know, if we're going to abide under his shadow, we need to know how to do it. So we'll come back to that. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord. That's important. What you say about the Lord is very important. I will say of the Lord. What will you say, David? David said, I will say he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Think about it. What do you say about the Lord? Remember, Jesus asked his disciples, whom do you say that I am? It's not important what your neighbor says about who the Lord is or what somebody else says about the Lord. In your life, it's important, what do you say about him? Is he your healer? Is he your deliverer? Is he your financier? In other words, he meets your financial needs. Those are the things that you need to say about the Lord. The Lord's my deliverer. The Lord will keep me from all temptation. It's important to say those things because that activates his power on your behalf. So verse 3, surely, see, this is positive. This is not like maybe, might. No, it says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. That word noisome means offensive or very wicked pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Or the word wasteth means to completely destroy. A thousand shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Now, you know, it's tempting when you see other people falling to get nervous. But God said, hey, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but not happen to you because you are under the shadow. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, about how to be under the shadow. Verse 8 says, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. All right, we're going to talk about how to make him our habitation, how to dwell under the shadow of his wings, to dwell in his secret place. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, or literally one translation says, there shall no evil conquer you. I think we all know that we have evil that comes at us. You know, we're not exempt. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome it. So we're not exempt from attacks of the enemy, but they won't conquer us. They won't overtake us. We may know they're going on. We may have them hit us, but they're not going to overtake us. Why? No evil shall befall you, verse 10, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Notice this. I like this verse, verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's not God's will for us to be cut off in the prime of our life. God wants us to have long life and to be satisfied. And I remember Brother Hagin used to say this. He said, if you hear I'm gone, I got satisfied. Well, and I think it was in September of 2003, he went to heaven at 87 maybe years old. He must have been satisfied. But I want us to back up. See, all these great promises, Psalm 91, and you need to familiarize yourself with these things. You need to read this psalm, build it into your spiritual life. But I want to back up because this hinges on verse 1 where he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well just how do we dwell in this secret place? How do we abide under the shadow of the Almighty? I think it's pretty simple, really. I really do. You know, I don't think there's any deep spiritual mystery to this. I think it's pretty simple. It goes back to what the first verse that we read here in Psalm 74:20, where David said, "Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty or violence." David mentioned the covenant to God. In other words, and like I said, one translation actually says covenant promises. What I believe is this, and I believe this is scriptural, I believe this is accurate. I believe the way that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High is by wrapping ourselves in the promises of God. In other words, we intertwine God's promises in our life. They flavor everything we do. They flavor the way we talk. They flavor the way we think. They flavor the way we act. I hope you're like that. I mean, I try to be. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but my life is intertwined. Almost everything that I do or think, I compare it to the Word and to God's promises. And I think you should do that. See, that's what he's talking about. When he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. We've got to get into that secret place. It's not that God's hiding from anybody. It's just that unless you know him and you know his Word, you don't know this place exists. A lot of people don't know there's a place in God that exists where you can live free, praise God. You can live free from fear. You can live free from being overcome and overtaken and beat down and beat up and destroyed. You know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But you and I, when we intertwine ourselves and wrap ourselves in the promises of God, we can live in a place where that's not part of our life. We're walking in the blessing. Hallelujah. We're walking in the promises of God. So, As we meditate on God's word and his promises, and we confess his promises, and most importantly, we trust in his promises. As we do that, we're abiding in that secret place. We're abiding under the shadow. We have the protection. See, that's what Jesus was talking about in John 15 when he said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you," that teaching there by Jesus in John 15 is on us abiding, coming to stay. We don't just, you know, come on Sunday morning or Wednesday night and shout over, you know, what pastor preaches on the promise of God and then go our way and act like they have no effect in our life. We live this way. We don't just put on a show for Sunday morning or Wednesday night. We're actually Monday through Sunday, 24/7, we're measuring everything in our life by the Word of God. We're measuring everything by the promises of God. When something comes into my life, I check, am I redeemed from this? If I'm redeemed from this, I don't have to let this stay. It may try to come on me, but it can't stay because I'm redeemed from it. And so I don't just lay down and let that thing have a place in my life. I fight it. I kick it out because I've got promises, praise God. See, that's what God told Joshua. You know, when Joshua was getting ready to go into the promised land, after Moses had died, Joshua inherited the leadership of Israel, and God began to speak to him and tell him, now go over this Jordan and go possess the land. Every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, that have I given unto you. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. But he told Joshua something, because, you know, Joshua is getting ready to go into a land that's a very dangerous land. You know, the spies that went to spy out the land, they came back, and 10 of them said, you know, it's a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. It's a land full of giants. There's no way we can go in there. Well, they judged by what they saw in the natural. And what they saw in the natural was real. It was realistic. It was a fact. But when God says something different, hallelujah, when God says something different, what he says trumps everything else. And God had already told him, I'm giving you this land. So what does that mean? Well, okay, maybe these giants are bigger than you. Maybe their armies are greater than yours, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to see to it that you're victorious. And you know, God has proven many times how he can take a number of just a few and great victory, and produce great victory. You know, think about Gideon. You know, Gideon had 10,000, and God said, you know, you got too many. You need to whittle them down. And they got down to, I think it was 300 that they had left to go fight with. And God gave them great victory just by 300. So God doesn't need the numbers. He doesn't need the might of men. It's not by our might, not by our power, but by his Spirit. And so when Joshua was getting ready to go into the land, here's what God told him. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So what he was telling Joshua was this: wrap yourself in the word of God before you go in there. Why? Well, because by doing so, you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And I think it's the Amplified Bible that goes on to say, whose power no foe can withstand. Hallelujah. I like that. Now, go with me to Job, because I want to talk about Job just a little bit and speak about Job. Matter of fact, let's just go. I want to look at two spots in Job. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him? Notice this, there's a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, you know, I have written in my Bible, this is what God does. This is what God does. God makes a hedge about us. He's not the one making us sick. He's not the one that's causing us trouble. He's the one that's making the hedge to protect his covenant people. Now, Job chapter 3, let me show you something there. Verse 25, if you will. Job said, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, nor was I quiet, and yet trouble came, and trouble came. What's Job saying? Well, Job, my cross-reference says this, I feared a fear, and it came upon me. I believe, you don't have to believe this, but I believe one of the factors in Job's attack was fear. I'm not saying that's the only thing, but I'm saying one of the factors was fear. He said himself, the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. What does that tell you about Job? It tells us he was living in fear. It says he greatly feared. You know, you don't greatly fear by having a fleeting thought. You greatly fear by meditating on something and thinking about it over a long period of time. So evidently, Job was in fear that he was going to come under attack. He was in fear that he was going to lose everything. He was in fear of all these things that happened to him, and he said he was greatly feared. And so I just personally believe, and you don't have to believe this, but I just personally believe that one of the factors in Job's attack, once again, I'm not claiming this is the only factor, but I think it was one of the factors in Job's life that literally opened the door to the devil was his fear. You know, the Bible is full, and I mean full, of commands to fear not. Think about it. I forget how many there are, how many times. I mean, it's like 300 and some times the Bible says or alludes to the phrase, fear not, don't fear, don't be in fear. And, you know, fear is a result of not building the promises into our life. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, 2 Kings, where the prophet Elisha, sometimes I get Elijah and Elisha mixed up, but it was Elisha. Elisha was in a certain city, and the king of Syria was trying to capture him. And the king of Syria sent a host of chariots and men to surround the city to capture Elisha. And Elisha's servant gets up in the morning, he goes outside, he sees all these armies surrounding the city. And he says to his master Elisha, he said, "What shall we do?" He saw all that. "What shall we do?" I think it's really interesting that the first thing Elisha said to do was, "Fear not." That's the very first thing he said. Fear not. Fear not. Those that are with us are more than they that be with them. I'm sure his servant thought, wait a minute here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, there's hundreds of enemy soldiers. And us, 1, 2. Wait a minute. More with us? See, and then Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes." And when he opened his eyes, he saw the mountainside full of angels. The Bible calls them chariots of fire and horses of fire. I think they were representative of the angels of God that had surrounded that city to help this prophet. Why? Because he's got divine protection. Amen. He's got a covenant. See, we need to be people of faith that wrap ourselves in the promises of God, that build them into our life. See, that's what Ephesians 6 is talking about when it says, the shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one, all of them. Y'all hear that? Not just one or two, all of them. It quenches them. It didn't say it stops them from coming. It says it quenches them. It puts them out. It puts the fire out. You may get hit with a dart, but the shield of faith will put it out, praise God. And so, you know, I think about Jesus. You know, Jesus, there's more than one place in the Gospels where the crowds wanted to attack Jesus. They wanted to kill him. And the Bible says he just walked right through the crowd. And I've read those scriptures. I think, now how do you do that? How is a crowd wanting to kill you and you just walk through the crowd and get to the other side? Well, they couldn't touch him because the shield of faith was on him. Amen. See, the shield of faith, the faith, let me say it like this. Faith produces a shield around us. I personally believe that when we're trusting God's promises, it produces a shield of faith around us, which is the glory of God. I think the glory of God goes around us. Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 58 that the glory of God would be your rear guard. So I believe the glory encircles us. You know, that's what God did with Israel. You know, the Bible talks about when they left Egypt, the cloud by day and the fire by night. Well, the Egyptians could not get to the Israelites because of that cloud of glory. I believe that when we're trusting God's promises, we're in that secret place of the Most High. We're under the shadow. It's like the glory of God just surrounds us, and the devil can't touch us. He can't take us out because of the glory of God. See, Jesus told Martha, he said, if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God. John 11:40. Well, if we'll believe God's promises, we'll see the glory of God. Now, let me go to at least one more scripture in talking about this being under the shadow, having divine protection. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4, and we want to read a few verses there. And this is about the time when Jesus was being tempted of the devil. Matthew chapter 4. Let's go there. And let's just begin reading at verse number 5. It says, the devil taketh him, that's Jesus, up into the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sets him on the pinnacle of the temple. So he's up high. And he said unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. So that's Psalm 91. The devil's quoting to Jesus, Psalm 91. Notice what Jesus said to him, verse 7. Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, what do you think about this? Even the devil knew the Bible promises us divine protection. The devil knows it. Well, if the devil knows it, God's people ought to know it. He knows it. But I want you to notice what he did. He tempted Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. He said, go ahead and do it. You've got divine protection. Go ahead, do that. And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, what does Jesus mean by that? Well, what he means by that is, yes, we have divine protection, but you don't purposefully put yourself in harm's way. To do that is to tempt the Lord your God. And so, but I just, when I read this, you know, I'm thinking, wait a minute here. The devil knows we have divine protection. See, I think this is where a lot of people get in trouble. You know, Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, he that breaks a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. I think a lot of people break that hedge of protection that we have by really tempting the Lord by their actions and things. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, for instance, you know, the COVID-19 thing is going around. It'd be foolish for me, you know, if there was a room over, it, you know, someplace, and there it was full of like 50 positive COVID-19 patients, and I know they're all positive, they've all got symptoms. It would be foolish for me just to walk in there and say, well, I've got divine protection. That'd be the same thing that the devil tried to get Jesus to do. Didn't Jesus have divine protection from accidents? Absolutely he did. But to test the Lord and just to jump off, Jesus was saying it doesn't work that way. Now, if the Lord told me to go into that room full of COVID-19 patients and pray for them and minister the gospel to them, well, then I'm okay because he said go and I'm not tempting him. I hope you understand that. See, a lot of people break hedges because they, you know, if you're going to drive 100 miles an hour down the freeway all the time and you have a wreck and you say, why didn't the angel protect me? Well, you're tempting the Lord your God because you're breaking the law, see. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. You know, so you've got to watch these things. I heard a minister say one time, before he had his own ministry, he worked for another ministry. And he actually did different things. But one of the things that he did do was he was a prayer counselor. And other people could call in for counsel, and they would pray with him. He said, one time I had an older lady that called in, and she was crying and all upset. And she said, I just got mugged. I just got robbed. And she said, and I don't understand this. She said, I believe in divine protection, the promises of God. She says, as a matter of fact, before I left the house, I confessed Psalm 91. I believe for divine protection. Well, this minister, he said, I didn't really know what to tell her, you know. I mean, I didn't know what to say. He said, but it came up inside of me, ask her, did you need to be there where you're at? So he said to her, well, ma'am, did you need to be there in that part of town? She says, well, no, not actually, no, it was a bad part of town. And before I left, I felt like I probably shouldn't go. Well, she got her answer. God was trying to protect her by warning her, don't go in that part of town. But she broke a hedge. She broke her divine protection. You know, I'm thinking about a lady pastor, that her son, he did these motocross bike tricks. I don't know if you've ever seen them. I've seen a little bit of it. But, I mean, it's wild. I mean, they get that thing going real fast. They come off these hills. They flip it in the air. hang on and land. They do all kinds of things. Now, and so it's really, really extremely dangerous. And so he did those things. That was his hobby, I guess. And one day he had a wreck, and he broke his leg. He broke it so bad that he had to have a pin put in it. And so his mother said this. He said to her, "Mom, I don't understand, because every time I'd go do this," he said, "I'd always pray for protection." I love what she said. She said, "Did it ever dawn on you that if you're doing something, that you have to pray for protection before you do it, that maybe you probably shouldn't be doing it?" You see, he didn't have to be doing that, you know, but he just did it for fun. And, you know, it was tempting the Lord thy God. I know you're, come on, tell me you love this. I know sometimes we don't like to hear this, but sometimes we can break hedges. We do things. I'm thinking about an incident that happened years ago with Phyllis and I. It was the late 80s. We were planning on a vacation. We were going to go to this, it's kind of a rustic place. It was like in the woods. You rented a cabin, and then, you did your own cooking. I mean, it was a stupid vacation. I mean, I don't take vacations like that anymore. I mean, I go to five-star hotels, somebody cook for me. I mean, but, you know, I don't know, we did it. And so, but here's the thing. Several days before we were getting ready to leave, I kept having, we call it a premonition, that we shouldn't go. I kept feeling danger. And as the week progressed, that feeling got stronger. It got to where I was even like, I could sense there would be bloodshed if we went to this place. Now, I mean, I was young in the Lord, really. I wasn't all that old in the Lord. I was born again in 81. This was probably 1987 or 88. So I was still kind of young in the Lord. And, you know, didn't know everything I know now. Don't know everything I'm going to know later, I hope. But, you know, I just rebuked it. Like, fear, get out of here. You know, I don't yield to you. I got divine protection. I'm protected. I rebuke that. And yet it wouldn't go away. I kept feeling like, man, we shouldn't take this trip. This is going to end in harm to us physically. We shouldn't do this. There's danger here. But being the hard-headed person that I have been, and I'm still working on that, sometimes am, I went anyway. And I remember, and Phyllis will remember this, when we got to the place where we were going to stay, we were outside of the office, getting ready to go in and pay for our cabin. And we're outside, and it's me, it's not her fault, it's my fault. We're debating, talking back and forth whether we should go in and do this. Well, I look back now and I think, man, if you feel that strong about it, just go somewhere else. But I've got in my head, you know, that I don't yield to the spirit of fear. I don't have any fear. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Didn't realize it was God trying to warn me. Didn't realize that. We went ahead, paid our money. We got into the cabin. And Phyllis could tell you that if she was here this morning. It was a very weird sensation inside that cabin. I don't watch these movies, but I have. Before I was born again, horror movies, you know, and that feeling, that eerie, scary, you know, feeling. That's what that cabin felt like on the inside. It just felt, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the place. We just weren't supposed to be there. And it felt that way. And it just was weird. And so, but, you know, the hard-headed person I am, I'm still staying. And so it turns night, you know, and I lay down on the couch, and there's a window, you know, behind the couch, and Phyllis reaches over the top of me to close the curtain. And when she did, I heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord said, "Are you going to have to learn the hard way?" Man, when I heard that, I told Phyllis, "Come on, let's get our stuff. We're getting out of here." And we boogied out of there. And thank God, I don't know what would have happened. I have no idea. But I do know this, that God was warning us to get out. Now, had I not eventually paid attention to that, I would have broken a hedge. I would have gotten outside of the hedge of divine protection. And it would not have been God's fault. It would have been my fault. So we have to make sure that we're not doing things that, you know, are foolish, that we're breaking a hedge of protection, or we're not tempting the Lord our God like the devil tried to get Jesus to do here and go ahead and jump off the pinnacle. Yeah, Jesus had divine protection, but you don't tempt the Lord. You don't put yourself or others in harm's way just to test it. You believe you have it. Amen. I believe I'm free. I believe I'm redeemed and delivered from all affliction, all sickness. You know, this COVID-19 going around, I'm not going around living in fear. I'm going around and doing my business, but I'm not going to be silly and put myself in harm's way on purpose. You know, like I said, if there was a room full of people that had it and God told me to go in there and pray for them, which he might do that. Yeah, Jesus prayed for all kinds of sick people, lepers and everything else. So he might do that. Well, in that instance, I'm not tempting the Lord. That's where he told me to be. I've got his divine protection. But if I just go in there foolishly on my own, and sometimes that's just pride. Look at me. Look how tough I am. Look how much faith I have. You know, I just go in there foolishly on my own. Then I might just break a hedge, and I might find myself with the same thing those people got. So you have to use a little bit of wisdom when it comes to the divine protection thing. Can we look at one last scripture, and then we'll close today? Thanks for being such a good audience, and thank you for joining us this way. You know, I'm sorry that this was like a last-minute thing this morning, but, you know, we didn't find out about it till a little bit before the service, and so we just felt like this was the prudent thing to do. Like I said, we'll be back in live service next Sunday morning on the 9th, so be sure and join us. And let's go to John chapter 5, and I want to read one verse, we'll close. Verse 18 says, "For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not." Now, while this is talking about sin in this particular passage right here, about keeping yourself pure, it applies in all areas. If you keep yourself, now what does that mean? Isn't God going to keep us? Well, yes, ultimately that's true, but you have to do the first keeping yourself. In other words, you have to keep yourself in that secret place. You have to keep yourself under the shadow of the Almighty. Once again, you do that by entwining yourself, wrapping yourself with the promises of God. In other words, the promises are not just something we shout about on Sunday morning. They're not just something we shout about on Wednesday night or when we hear a good message. The promises are something that we think about every day, 24/7. Everything that comes in our life, we measure it by the promises. What do the promises say? Lack, promises say to lack, my God supplies my need. Sickness, promises say to sickness, by his stripes I'm healed. What about temptation? What about sin? Promises say to me, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Amen. What about sadness and depression? Promises say to me, he's given me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I've got to judge my life not by what's happening in the natural, but by the promises of God. Wrap those things, intertwine those things in my life, let them become an integral part of my being and my living. When I do that, amen, I'm living in the shadow, under the shadow of the Almighty, dwelling in the secret place. Dwelling in the secret place, being under the shadow, is not a hit or miss proposition where maybe someday we have a great prayer time, great anointing, wow, we're in the secret place, we're under the shadow. No, that's not it. It's what you do with the promises of God on a daily basis. Hey, I hope you got something out of this. Hey, we're living in dangerous times like never before, but thank God, Psalm 91. Familiarize yourself with it. We confess it here almost every service, but we don't often take time to read it. Maybe we should do that more often in our services, at least take some time every now and then and read Psalm 91 to make sure everybody knows what it says. Praise God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.